there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Shouldn't you be at work?
It's a lovely chip! Oh, it's a brilliant goal from Lord Bohemian!
Still, it's not away. Southgate shot. Milosevic scores.
And you can pair up if you like. And you can fucking pick someone else to go up and you can bring your fucking dinner.
A break for them if they can scramble away here, and they can. Ajax at sixes and sevens. They're at full stretch here. It's going to fall for Max Beaver. Oh, my word! What a finish. And Beaver smashes the dam.
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, no. Hello and welcome to the traditional end of series Quickly Kevin quiz. I'm Chris Gold. Joining me as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And joining us, a man who is so 90s, he even likes Euro 92. It's Michael Marden.
Is that true, Michael?
I was hoping Chris wouldn't get to me in time. I was Googling what was Swedish for hello. Hello.
Do you even like Euro 92?
Apart from Denmark winning it, I'm not sure I could tell you anything about that tournament. I think it's something that we should definitely revisit.
We did it a bit with 40, didn't we?
Yeah. I'd like to do a deep dive into that tournament as much for my own sort of enjoyment and lack of knowledge as anything else.
I remember one of the Danish players getting quite a bad injury where I think his kneecap was like poking out vertically.
Man.
When if you turned a kneecap 90 degrees, that's my main memory.
You're not selling it to me.
Yeah, does his surname rhyme with a Cadbury's chocolate bar? Can we kind of work it into it?
So, we will be returning with a new series of Quickly Kevin in early March because, to be quite frank, we like to get all the interviews recorded beforehand so we're not panickingly phoning Adi Akinbaye and trying to track him down 48 hours before an episode goes live. So, it's back in March. However, if you are an XJ8 member on Patreon, that is the level that gets the Steve Bruce episodes, etc., then we are going to do an episode every week to fill in that time before the new series starts. That will be Ivo Graham, Steve Barnes trilogy episodes. There'll be some extra film clubs. There'll be correspondence episodes. There'll be new types of episode we've always toyed with doing. So they'll be coming your way to fill that gap before the main series starts. Also, you still have time if you want to get the Quickly Kevin 2021 calendar, which will be dispatched mid-January. That's what we're aiming for. You need to have signed up to the Patreon by midnight, December the 31st. Do that literally as you hear the bongs. That is the countdown. And sign up, give your address, and that is the first piece of memorabilia that will be coming out to XJ8 members next year. The Quickly Kevin 2021 wall calendar. And I'll be honest with you, we've had a meeting on Zoom about what's going to be on it, and we're really pleased with it. We're really excited, so we can't wait to send it out.
And just to give you a little clue as to what you might expect, if you're looking for a calendar that may depict Barry Fry eating a fry up, let's just say you might be very pleased in late January. Get all that over on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/quicklykevin.
Okay, the end of series quiz is always one of my favourite episodes, partly because we don't have to go to the lengths of booking a footballer. We've already recorded it, and I'd say this might be the best one we've done. I absolutely loved it. This is Quickly Kevin, Series 7, End of Season Quiz.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the Quickly Kevin end of series quiz, as is tradition. I'm Chris Goh, and joining me as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And also the finest 90s quiz host this side of Chris Tarrant. It's Michael Marden.
Hello.
I just don't feel like Chris Tarrant is... I think Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, really... I mean, it started in the 90s, but I think it really...
You've got to remember, it's 90s, legally.
Remember, I can tell you the exact date of the Major Charles Ingram incident.
Go on.
It was the 11th of September 2001, because that's why it wasn't in the news. It happened on 9/11.
There we go.
There you go. Start with something light.
Michael, do not be giving Josh points for that knowledge.
Well, I thought you were going to say Barrymore and then take it to a really dark place.
Let's introduce who's on our team. So tonight, joining me is our second Bristol-based Liverpool fan of the season. Making his debut is comedy and TV warm-up icon, Mark Olver.
Barrymore was more 80s as well, I think. Henry Kelly was more 80s. I think Henry Kelly would have been...
Who's your defining 90s quiz show host?
Do you know what? Well, I was on a quiz show in the 1990s called Raise the Roof when I was at university, hosted by Bob Holness.
Oh, wow.
I know he was more 80s, but yeah, he hosted the show where you could win a house, and I was out in the first round, but hosted by Bob Holness. Very nice man.
Lovely. Yeah, Michael, sure. Any points for that?
No.
What about the theme tune of Going for Gold was written by Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was that's, it? That is, yeah. That's a good fact.
That's worth a point.
Yeah, there you go. 1 point. Thank you. Thank you. That's great stuff from Oliver. They always say in a big cup final, just get your first pass right.
I'm not good. I mean, Michael, you'll know the other Bob Holness fact, obviously.
He did not play the saxophone in Baker Street.
That is not true. Incorrect. Oh. He's the first person to have played James Bond.
Yes.
That is true. He played it in the first radio dramatisation of James Bond. That point, Michael?
No, because I already knew it, so...
Sorry, can I ask, do I actually get a point for Hans Zimmer? Because you said yes to that one.
We'll see how tight the scores are at the end of this quiz. If it's a deciding point, I'll probably have to take it away.
With me, we should introduce that I am... This is. I'm very pleased about this because it's very exciting that Devon has come together, a pure Devon team. Mm. One of the most popular episodes, I'm going to say one of our most popular episodes ever, was Talkie United with Charlie Baker. Here he is in his Talkie United shirt. Well, hello.
Good evening. Was on, Josh. It's nice to speak to you, my boy.
Oh, God.
Only one of them is truly Devon.
How long until Jethro turns up?
Hey, that's Cornwall, racist.
Right, he's Cornwall, mate. Oh,
God. It's a pound to get across the bridge, Chris.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm going to get a point docked for that, aren't I? Oh, God.
I've never seen Jethro. No. Have you ever been?
I've never been, but I bought a DVD once just to check out the competition. I was like, oh, this is quite enjoying this. And he's funny, you know, he's like really good at jokes and stuff. Like blah, 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 blah. He's all like loads of that. And I've had the Denzel Pen.
Is he on TV?
The Denzel Penworthy. All right, he does all that. But then he'll go just some horrible racist joke, like just right, just like right in the middle of the set. And you go, what? Why have you done that? There was absolutely zero need.
I get told I look like him a lot.
No.
But now seeing you do the impression of him, I'm like, holy shit, you really look like him.
The tribute act circuit, I think, is always there, Oliver. It's always there. And the year I've had, you know, it's always knocking at the door.
You're a shoo-in for the biopic, the Jethro biopic, when that comes out.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm doing. As soon as this finishes, I'm going to watch some Jethro on YouTube, and I'll let you know what I think. Anyway, this is our, well, it's not biannual, I suppose, isn't it? Because we do two series a year, end of series quiz. As always, hosted by a man who gets every answer bullseye correct. It is Michael Marden. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, so as is tradition to close out the series, it's time for the Quickly Kevin 90s football quiz. Josh, you'll be joined by Charlie to create the Devon Boys dream team. And Chris, you'll join by Mark to form a London-Bristol axis of 90s football knowledge. Now, before we start, I should add the usual disclaimer to the listeners. There will almost certainly be a lot of factual inaccuracies. Okay. Please don't email me. Please don't tweet me. It's just a bit of fun, guys. Honestly, it's just fun.
Could you do a special feature on the Patreon where if they're a member of the Patreon, they are allowed to send in those messages disputing all the facts?
That's a great idea. That is a great idea.
That's a great idea, aren't I?
Yeah, yeah. I'll put my home address on. Thank you.
They can come round. That's a great idea. They can come round, buy you a cup of tea and tell you where you've gone wrong.
Now, you are mostly playing for bragging rights this evening, but as an added bonus, the winners will get to choose which song plays out at the end of the series.
Oh. Chris, we've not discussed tactics. Are there tactics?
Try and get them right. That would be my one piece of advice.
Thanks. Thanks, Cap.
Okay. So time for round one.
Yep.
This round is called A Big Man, Little Man.
Nice.
As a tribute to great striking partnerships of the 90s, Chris and Mark and Charlie and Josh will be required to work together to form a formidable quiz partnership. I will ask a series of questions where the answer is a number. The team closest to the correct answer will win the point. However, seeing as we're doing this remotely and the teams aren't able to confer, this is how it will work. Each player will write down their answer on a piece of paper. When prompted, they will reveal their guess. I will then add both the numbers from each team together and divide by two to get the average. That will then be the answer for that team.
Can you tell me the rules again? Because I panicked about not having a pencil.
Oh, God's sake.
Just write down the number. Write down the number.
Write down a number. Thanks.
Point off already, surely.
I worry about this dressing room over here on the M4.
Okay, so first question. The greatest goalkeeper of not just the 90s, but in the history of the game, is Peter the Great Dane Schmeichel. But can you tell me how many international caps he received in his career?
It's a good question.
A great question. How long did he play for? He played for 10 years?
I don't remember him being...
good?
I remember him being good.
He was the goalie in the Italia 90 sticker album, but they didn't qualify. But they had to guess at the teams too early, so he was in that. It just must be more galling to know that you made the sticker album.
While you've mentioned Italia 90, do I get any points that my dad used to be a Fiat dealer and he once sold a Fiat Italia 90 Panda?
Oh, wow.
Fiat Panda, Italia 90 with football hubcaps and the dude, you know, their football dude.
Oh, I'd love
I very
that.
Nearly bought like, one of those on eBay.
Embroidered into Michael. The seats.
Yeah, I was drunk one night, as I often do, searching Italia 90 on eBay.
White.
And
a white one.
But it seemed grotesquely overpriced for a car in that
condition.
And you
can't drive.
I can't drive.
that might be more of a problem.
Right, does everyone have an answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to start with you, please, Charlie.
198.
198?
198.
You're absolutely insane. No way.
Have I gone massively? I thought 10 years. How often do you play?
He's not playing 20 games for Denmark a year over a decade.
Embarrassed myself already. I'm thinking Shilton sort of numbers, I was thinking.
He didn't do 180.
No, he did 125.
Okay. I've gone high. If everyone else goes low, I've gone high.
The average score for your team is 142 caps.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry, Josh. I'm so sorry.
Good night.
Chris, what is your answer?
80.
80. Olva, what have you gone for?
Nice and sensible, please, Olva.
88.
Everyone within eight, apart from Charlie. Who?
Terrible start, isn't it? Really terrible start.
The average for your team, Chris and Olva, is 84.
We're not out there.
I can tell you the correct answer is 100. And 29.
What is it?
What? Yeah!
We won!
Josh and Charlie get the point.
No, Charlie said the game!
Wow. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. But you got to think, Charlie, he will have played every single game, wouldn't he? No one else was playing.
All right, let's not get cocky.
Yeah, no, but Charlie, you're still wrong. Mate, you're still massively wrong. Me and Chris were still closer to the answer than you were.
But I was making the average. But I was making the average right over.
Yeah, I know. But you can't then say that you use your logic when you were so wrong.
Charlie anticipated that I'd go wrong.
Yeah. Points on the board, over. Points on the board.
Okay, question two. In 1998, Long throw specialist Andy Legg claimed the world record for the longest throw-in when he threw the ball what distance? And please give your answers in metres and centimetres.
Haven't you discussed this on the podcast?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we have. I've read this so many times recently, so I'm very close, but I don't...
I always think of Dave Challoner as the long throw specialist.
Well, yeah, he's very much the Stones to Andy Legg's Beatles, I think.
Right. You've got an answer? Okay, so start with Chris and Oliver this time. Chris, can I have your answer first, please?
I've gone with 35 metres.
Oliver?
I went 35, but then I changed my mind because I'm going Baker, so I've gone 28 metres, 40 centimetres.
Mine is now looking utterly ridiculous.
I'm dreading for Charlie. It's got to go me first here, Michael.
7 miles.
The average for your team is 31.7 meters. Josh, what is your answer, please?
I've read this really recently in emails we've got. So it's not far off this, I don't think. 42.80, sorry.
I'm so excited about this reveal.
I think I've got this wrong because I was thinking, had he done it in some sort of Roy Castle Guinness Book of Records style challenge?
Yeah, he did.
Or is it during a... Right. Okay, so I was then thinking, right, how long is a football pitch? Right? And how long can goalkeepers throw it? They can throw it a long way, can't they? They can throw it at least halfway.
They don't have to do it like that, do they?
I know, but if you're like a long throw specialist, so I'm saying 85 metres.
Charlie, you've lost your mind.
What?
That's almost a pitch.
How far do they throw a javelin?
Okay, so to recap, Chris and Oliver, your average distance is 31.7 metres. And Josh and Charlie, your average is 63.9 metres. I can tell you the correct answer is 46.34 metres. Chris and Oliver,
half.
Get the point. Half.
Not the end of the world, Charlie. Not
twice
the end of the
world. As long as I said.
maybe we thought too much of Andy Legg. If that's the case, then guilty.
Bet Dave Challoner could have done 85. I'm sorry, Josh. I didn't know I was so thick.
Oliver, they're in disarray here.
The good news is, Charlie, you always want a narrative to arise during a quiz, but it's very rare it happens so early.
The fall guy early on.
Question number three. Arguably the high watermark of England's time in the 90s was the Euro 96 semi-final against Germany on the 26th of June 1996. But can you tell me what the official attendance was that day?
Michael's asked for the official attendance because he's one of those conspiracy theorists that believes that the FA were actually taking... The FA called the official attendance at 7,000 and then kept the money for themselves. Like those letters we received about the chairman we won't name.
That was always the thing at Torquay on a Tuesday night. It would be like, oh, the attendance is 1,800... And it would be like, there's more than that here. Was it Old Wembley?
Old Wembley, yeah.
Have we discussed before that, because this blows my mind still, a lot of the group games outside of Wembley didn't sell.
Really?
Can you imagine that now? They were half attended.
Mad.
I went to France, Spain at Elland Road in the group game, and that was in the early evening, after the England-Scotland game.
Oh, really?
So I watched the England-Scotland game at my hall's residence and then went across to Elland Road because I was at uni in Leeds and went across to watch France-Spain. It was really easy to get tickets, really easy.
How much do you blame the grey kit for losing that semi-final? I blame it 100%.
Do you?
Yeah, 100%.
No teams ever really played well in a grey kit, have they? There's no classic performance.
Why? Why for a major championships in your own country would you have a grey away kit?
Umbro have a lot to answer for.
They do. I agree with you. It's a shame you didn't agree with me on 85 metres. Randy Legg.
Time for your answers.
Oh, we've got to end on Charlie here, Michael. I don't want to tell Bob Holness how to do his job, but you've got to do Chris and Mark first to build up to the headline act.
400,000 people.
Okay. Chris.
88,500. Oh, God.
Come on.
Lost your mind.
Okay, I have got 83,435.
What did Wembley hold? I thought it would hold like 100,000.
So that gives your team an average of 85,967.5. So there's half a person in there.
Why didn't I just go really low? Trying to adjust.
No, I'm not going mad. I'm not going raving mad.
Okay, Josh.
81,000. I wish I'd gone 60,000 now. I should have thought it through.
Charlie?
I've said 95,560.
So to recap, Chris and Olga, your average answer was 85,967.5. Josh and Charlie, yours was 88,280 is your average. The correct answer was 75,800.
Whoa! Really?
Oh, wow. So Chris and Olga get the points.
That's mad.
That's really low.
Was that the capacity of the old Wembley then? Must have been.
Yeah. No, there must have been. I bet you there were 10,000 people there who hadn't paid.
It's not Glastonbury in the 90s.
No, because you think, right, how many people will Barclays or whatever have taken? How many?
Yeah, but they count, surely.
They don't count them, though, do they? They never count them in.
No, do they not?
Not in those boxes and stuff, do they?
So the capacity of the old Wembley was 82,000. So, yeah, you're looking at 7,000 and turn up.
Sorry, Josh. I'm really sorry.
No, I love it. I feel like I'm doing high altitude training.
I can't believe I'm so out. I'm not even trying.
This is good, Olga. This is good. Just keep our heads here.
Charlie's going to reset himself incredibly low on the next question.
I'd also say to only be 2-1 up, considering how the game's gone so far, must feel like quite galling.
Okay, someone who comes up a lot on this show is England's record cap holder, Peter Shilton.
Awful man.
In particular, his relaxed and, one might even say, incompetent approach to saving penalties. So here is your question. Over his entire club and international career, can you tell me what you think his percentage of penalties saved?
Wow.
Great question.
This is the brilliant question. I did Total Wipeout, Celebrity Total Wipeout, in Argentina. Also on the trip was Ashley from Coronation Street, and Dermot the Gardener and Peter Shilton. And Peter
what?
Shilton. Now, the first two people out of it, because you get knocked out, were me, because I was too fat for it, and Peter Shilton, who was 68. And so after two or three days, I can't remember how many, me and Peter Shilton were in Buenos Aires while everyone else did the show. and then I went round Buenos Aires with Peter Shilton for two or three days.
Wow.
And I kept going, hand of God. I kept going, hand of God, Peter Shilton, hand of God, Peter Shilton. Nothing. No one even knew about it. Even the Maradona lookalike in the main bit of out the Boca region, outside Boca Juniors, which is like the only bit you can go in without getting mugged, didn't know who Peter Shilton was. The Maradona lookalike.
Did you ever ask him about his penalty percentage shaving rate?
No, I didn't ask him about that. And I now have to work out the answer after that glittering anecdote.
Okay, so we'll start with you, please, Chris.
I've gone for 12% because I think it's going to be fairly shit. I think one in every 10, those tactics he deploys where he just waits to see where it goes, I think it's something like that he's going to be saving.
Okay.
I think a decent penalty saving rate would be about 15%. So I've sort of halved it and gone 7%.
That's good. I'm pleased with the plays where we've ended up there.
I think I've gone too high
because that because Olver's thinking there is actually for keepers to save one in five penalties. That's quite a high rate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Josh.
What have we done?
14%.
Okay. Charlie. Yeah,
and especially it's an era. He's like quite old school, isn't he? So it was an era where they didn't even practice them, did they? They didn't even bother.
110%.
No, I've said 19%. I was going to change it, but I thought, no, you've got to be true to the game. 19%.
Yeah.
If Shields could save one in five penalties, Italia 90 would have been a different story.
No, we'd have still lost because we missed two.
Yeah, that's right. Right, what are you? His agent?
I tell you what, he didn't get across one in five balls on total wipeout.
Chris and Oliver, so your average answer is 9.5%. And Josh and Charlie, your average is 16.5%.
That's high, isn't it, Josh? That's high.
No, that's all right.
I can tell you the percentage of penalties that Peter Shilton saved in his career. Okay. So he faced a total of 44 penalties.
Is that all?
That includes penalty shootouts.
Includes penalty shootouts.
Really?
Wow. What? He only faced, Italian 90 was the only penalty shootout in his career.
What?
Blow my mind.
Out of 44, he saved two.
Flip it.
He saved two penalties in his career.
One of them hit the post without him touching it. So technically, he saved one penalty. He has an average penalty save rate of 4.54%.
Oh, wow.
By comparison, David James has a 28.57%.
Does he? Blimey.
Can you say that stat again, Michael, just in case it comes up in my mastermind round?
That was a brilliant question.
So at the end of that round, Chris and Olva are in the lead 3-1.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's easy, though, isn't it? Early game. Still loads.
Okay, time for the next round, and it is the familiar favourite starting 11. In this round, I'll give you a classic football match from the 90s. Each team will then take it in turn to name a player from either side who appeared in that game.
Jesus.
If at any point you name a player who did not appear during the match, you are eliminated. And that includes both used and unused substitutes.
That's a great game. It's a great game.
3 points to the winning team. Now, the game in question is the 1998 FA Cup final between Arsenal and Newcastle. Arsenal won 2-0 on the 16th of May, 1998. Charlie, would you like to kick things off?
I'd love to, because I get to say Alan Shearer.
I don't think
you're correct.
Oh, dear, okay.
Let's go. Yeah.
Trying to sow a seed of doubt there.
Were you trying to get into Michael's head so that he didn't check it? Don't bother checking, Michael, he didn't play.
Skull, would you like to get?
Nicholas Anelka.
Correct. Josh.
Christopher Ray.
Correct.
Why didn't I save that one? That's a good one to be sitting on. I'm an idiot.
It's a good one. You should know that, Josh. That's a good one. Hulk, have one in your pocket.
Over.
I'm going to go David Seaman.
No.
Correct.
Oh.
You're good at this, Charlie. You are really showing your hand.
Over to you, Charlie.
Robert Pires.
Oh, I think you've gone early there.
Incorrect.
Ugh.
You are eliminated, so just Josh left.
That was nailed on in my head. Absolutely nailed on. I've got two or three others that I thought, yes, definitely them, to go with that one. Unbelievable.
Chris, over to you.
Lee Dixon.
Correct. Josh.
Tony Adams.
Correct. Over.
Les Ferdinand.
Incorrect.
What? I think he was at Spurs, wasn't he, at that point?
So it's just Chris and Josh left. Over to you, Josh.
Mark Overmars.
Correct.
Yes, get in, Josh.
Rob Lee.
Correct.
I'm going to go... Oh, Patrick Vieira?
Correct.
Yes.
Shay Given.
Oh, of course.
Correct.
Emmanuel Petit.
Correct. Emmanuel Petit did play.
Nigel Winterburn.
Oh, you absolute shit.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Good one.
We've got to be close here, haven't we?
I've got a couple of Newcastle, I think, but I'm not allowed to say anything.
Pistone.
Correct.
Oh, that deserves extra points.
I've got. I don't really want to gamble with this. So I'm going to say Keith Gillespie.
Great call.
Oh, God.
Was that one of the ones you were sitting on, Charlie?
Incorrect.
Rob Lee, it's Rob Lee.
I said Rob Lee already.
Oh.
I was thinking about Steve Howie.
So the Arsenal lineup was Seaman, Dixon, Keown, Adams, Winterburn, Ray Parlour, Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, Mark Overmars, Nicolas Anelka, Christopher Ray. Newcastle was Shea Given, Alessandro Pistone, Nikos Dabizas, Steve Howie, Stuart Pearce, Warren Barton, Rob Lee, David Batty, Gary Speed, Tomori Ketsbaya, and Alan Shearer.
Ketsbaya. Perfect.
How can we miss Batty? That is unacceptable.
So Josh and Charlie get the points.
Yeah.
Get it.
Now 4-3 in the lead.
Wow. I'm sorry, Chris.
Skull can't believe what's happening.
After a great first half, you've done
all
that.
All I said was half. Alan Shearer. Like a Matt, anyone could have just guessed Alan Shearer.
So when did Les Ferdinand play for Newcastle? Though?
Earlier. When he left probably 96, 97.
You know. Oh, what? You mean a year earlier? Like literally 1 year earlier and you're giving me all that?
Ages. What an idiot.
Oh, well, let's keep our composure.
Well, they've lost it. They've turned on each other.
Falling out.
Okay. Time for the next round?
Yes.
It's called Who Am I? In this round, I'll give you a series of clues about an iconic 90s figure. If at any point you think you know who that person is, you can buzz in and guess. If you guess correctly after the first clue, your team will receive 5 points. If you guess correctly after the second clue, you'll receive 4 points, and so on and so forth. However, if you buzz in and guess incorrectly at any stage, you will be eliminated from that round. Okay, here's your first clue. I was born in Nottinghamshire on the 15th of September, 1944. Clue number two. I played 339 times for Grimsby and Lincoln. Clue number three. My first managerial job.
Oh, buzz.
Josh has buzzed.
I think I'm wrong. Was it Graham Taylor?
It was Graham Taylor.
Yes!
Oh, come on!
Belting! Absolutely excellent.
Fair play.
Really? Could you not knock it?
Delighted with that.
Does he only get 2 points because you had started the next clue?
No. I'm going to give him the points because there wasn't enough of a clue. Okay. Time for the final round of the first half. 90s football mastermind. Each player will have 90 seconds to answer 10 questions on their chosen specialist subject. 1 point for each correct answer. This time round, Charlie and Mark, you will play in the second half of the quiz. Chris and Josh will play. First up in the spotlight is Charlie. And you have chosen for your specialist subject, Torquay United in the 90s. Now, I will say, I have no idea if these questions are the easiest questions in the world or the hardest.
This is a shame, isn't it? If one of the answers isn't Ivan Golak, then they are the hardest questions in the world.
Oh, buckle up.
Okay.
Okay, Charlie?
Have you revised, Charlie?
No. Although, I was about to reserve to be on Mastermind. I asked if Torquay United could be my specialist subject, and they said no. No one knows what it is. So it's a shame, isn't it? So it's great to be able to use the knowledge I've... let's see if I can use the knowledge or not. Here we go.
Okay, your time starts now. Lee Sharp is arguably Torquay United's most famous alumni. He's also one of three players to play for the club that went on to win an England cap after they left. Can you name one of the other two?
For sake. No, I can't.
Steve Bold or Keith Curl? Question number two. Which player became the club's youngest ever goalscorer when they scored against Walsall in August 1993?
David Bing.
Correct. Which player made the most FA Cup appearances for the club during the 1990s?
Kevin Hill?
Correct. Torquay have reached the fourth round of the FA Cup 7 times in their history. Which season during the 90s did they also achieve this?
The West Ham. 89-90.
Which player is Torquay's record signing of the decade?
Leon Constantine?
Avion Williams.
Oh, Evian Williams scored a hat-trick on his debut and never played it very well ever again.
And for which player did you receive a record transfer fee in the 90s?
David Graham.
Rodney Jack. In September,
Rodney Jack to crew. Unbelievable.
In September 1991, Torquay suffered the heaviest League Cup defeat in the club's history after a 7-1 loss against which team?
Scunthorpe.
Oldham Athletic. Torquay had a particularly torrid time in the 95-96 season, recording a club record fewest league goals in the season. But how many did they score in total in 46 matches?
25.
30. And your time is up.
That was a hard lot of questions. Didn't ask me one manager. What? Oh, my God.
Paints quite a depressing picture of Torquay in the 90s.
Quite a positive era. You wouldn't know it. We got a couple of promotions. You know, unbelievable. We won at Wembley in a cup fight. Unbelievable. We had a brilliant time in the.
What were the questions about that?
Unbelievable.
It was more of a roast than a mastermind, right?
Yeah, it was a roast, Josh. You're absolutely right. Absolute disgrace. And I feel like it's the absolute media bias towards the West Country that has come to the fore. Neil Warnock was our manager for a bit. Neil Warnock.
He was question number 9.
Oh,
Chris, if that's the standard of the questions, then I am absolutely fucked. And also, I'm a confidence player like Emil Heskey. And ever since I said Les Ferdinand, I can look in your eyes. So do me a favour. No matter how you feel during the first couple of questions, just poker face. Just hide behind your microphone, all right? Because I can't cope with disappointing you.
I'm very embarrassed about Rodney, not knowing Rodney Jack, particularly as we'd had a huge Rodney Jack conversation before we pressed record.
Okay. Mark,
come on, Olga.
You are up next, and your mastermind subject is Liverpool goalies in the 90s.
I'll get these. Hooper. Mike Hooper.
Okay. Your time starts now. On the 6th of July 1992, David James was signed by Liverpool from Watford. What was the transfer fee?
£1.7 million?
£1.25 million. Ooh. He went on to make 214 Premier League appearances. How many clean sheets did he keep in the league?
I don't feel so bad now. 62.
72. Oh. Bruce Grobbelaar won 12 major domestic trophies with Liverpool. Which season in the 90s did he win his final trophy?
92-93. 91-92.
In a notorious incident during the Merseyside derby in the 93-94 season, Grobbelaar assaulted which of his Liverpool teammates?
Rob Jones?
It was Steve McManaman. Which team did he leave Liverpool to sign for on a free transfer in 1994?
I even researched. This was the bit of revision that I did.
Oh, but come on, mate.
Aston Villa.
Southampton. Five goalkeepers played for Liverpool during the decade. Who made the fewest appearances in all competitions?
Mike Hooper.
Was it Mike Hooper?
It was Mike Hooper. Liverpool signed Brad Friedel. I started, so I'll finish. Liverpool signed Brad Friedel in 1997 for $1.7 million from which American team?
Oh, that's tough.
The Columbus Crew.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, bang! Oh, excellent.
Oh, you know what? You finished that round very strong.
I was like the really difficult questions. I was sort of close, right? That wasn't an embarrassment.
I think the year ones, you should give some years either way.
I think you should be ashamed you didn't get the right amount of clean sheets for David James in the Premier League.
I was 10 out.
Well, congratulations, Olga. You scored 2 points.
How many did Baker get for Torquay?
2 points also. Okay, that whistle means it's half time while the teams go off for an inspirational team talk.
And you can fucking pick someone else to help you and you can bring your fucking dinner. Because by the time I'm finished with you, you'll fucking need it.
And I work out the scores. Here's a quick word from our sponsors.
After 90 minutes of sheer hell, you're gonna get thirsty. This is new isotonic Lucozade Sport. It gets to your thirst fast. Isotonic means it's in balance with your body fluids.
Welcome back to part two of the 90s football end of series Quickly Kevin quiz. At the halftime break, Josh and Charlie are in the lead 10-5.
Boom!
Fucking hell.
How has that happened? Oh. No one knows how that's happened.
Still a lot to play for.
We've been appalling. We've been awful.
Chris, I think we've got this. I think
Come on, we need to.
I'm going to raise my game.
Let's see how it goes.
Okay, this next round is all about questions that have been set by the Quickly Kevin fan club members over on the forum.
Nice.
Oh, God, I hate those pricks.
One of the members on the forum called Secret Squirrel started a brilliant thread called the Never-Ending 90s Football Quiz. It's a general knowledge 90s football quiz from which I have plundered these questions, partly to pay tribute to them and partly because it means less work for me. And I can also blame someone else if the facts are wrong. So, here's how the round will work. I will ask a question. The next player in line will attempt to answer. If they guess correctly, their team gets a point and we proceed to the next question. If they get it wrong, it moves round for the next player to guess until someone gets it right or nobody does and we move to the next question. There is 1 point for each correct answer. So we toss the coin before the quiz. Chris, you're first up to guess and then we will move clockwise according to my screen each time. Okay, question number one. Who scored in two World Cups, both in the 90s, for two different countries?
Oh, wait a minute.
Pavel Nedved?
Oof. Incorrect. Charlie, over to you.
Jurgen Klinsmann?
Oh, that's such a good...
Incorrect.
That must be close.
That must be close, though.
Yeah, I like your thinking.
Over to you, Olva. Have you got a guess?
Carol Poborski.
Nice. Lovely woman.
Incorrect.
She works in accounts. She's smashing.
And Josh, last chance to get this question right.
Rudy Voller.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Josh.
Incorrect.
Oh!
The correct answer was Prozanecki for Yugoslavia and Croatia.
Nice. Okay.
So no one gets a point there. Question number two. So we start with you, Charlie. Who made their league debut in goal for Manchester United in their home game with Wimbledon on the 30th of April, 1990? The only player Alex Ferguson signed twice.
Jim Leighton.
Incorrect.
I thought I was nailed on, didn't you, Josh?
I did actually, yeah.
Over.
Oh, I genuinely can't believe, so I'm going Les Seeley.
That's a great shout. I admire that.
Incorrect. Josh.
That's what I respond to though, Chris, so thanks.
Yeah.
So they made the Man U debut in 1990.
Yep.
Was it Mark Bosnich? Didn't he play for Man U before he came back to Man U?
It was indeed Mark Bosnich.
Yes! That's amazing.
Brilliant fact.
I was going down the Aberdeen route.
That's where I was going. That's where I was going, Scotland.
Yeah, I almost went McClare then.
Question number three. Starting with you, Mark. 1999 was the last time an English Premier League club fielded an entire starting 11 of English players, but which club did it?
These are good questions.
1999, Chelsea?
It's a good guess, but it's incorrect.
That was my guess as well, Mark. So
okay, Josh.
Wimbledon?
Incorrect. Chris?
Could it be Blackburn Rovers?
Incorrect.
I'm going to say Southampton.
Incorrect. Oh. The correct answer was Aston Villa.
Oh, good. I wouldn't have got that.
Okay, question number four. Starting with you, Josh. Name the France player who won the Champions League and the World Cup in 1998.
Oh, I know this.
Who the hell won the Champions League in 1998? I think it was... So, I think I know who won the Champions League, but I don't can't think who the French player would be. So I'm going to go with, even though I know it's wrong, Zinedine Zidane.
Incorrect. Chris, over to you.
Didier Deschamps.
Incorrect.
Oh, fuck, is it? Oh, man. I was so confident.
I genuinely was thinking, oh, brilliant, we've got a point now.
So confident. No.
Charlie.
Is it Fabien Barthez?
Incorrect. Finally, over.
I'm going to go Thuram.
Nice.
Incorrect. The correct answer was Christian Karambu.
Oh, I would have given me forever.
Who did he win the Champions League with?
Real Madrid won the Champions League with in 1998. Okay, question number five. We all know the famous Kevin Keegan, I would love it if we beat them, rant. But who was interviewing Keegan when he came out with that seminal 90s moment? Chris, we start with you.
It's Keegan Gray.
Correct.
Oh. I think we need it to be Keys or Gray, don't we? Who asked
they're both
the question?
They're both chipping in, winding him up.
Okay, question number six. Starting with you, Charlie. Mm-hmm. Who was the first ever Premier League manager to be sacked?
Oh, what a lovely question. Oh. And I have absolutely zero idea.
I think this is the best quiz we've had.
It's a really great standard. It's really above my level. I feel like George Weah's cousin.
When you say the best, are you just referring to the questions or...
Questions.
Well, I haven't heard the edit yet, Mark.
But the questions are brilliant. The answers so far have been shocking.
Who was rubbish in 1992? I'm going to say Howard Wilkinson.
Good
guess, but it's incorrect. Oh. Over.
I'm going to go maybe George Graham?
Not a bad answer at all. Though.
Incorrect. Oh. Josh, over to you.
Peter Reid?
Incorrect. And finally, Chris, any guesses?
City's an interesting one because they're always sacking.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Palace were crap around that time. So Steve Coppell?
Coppell's a good call. Shout for any of them.
I was going to say Frank Burrows, so I hope that's not right.
The correct answer was Ian Porterfield at Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who remembers that?
I mean, the fact that I've never even heard that man's name.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't know who Frank Burrows was.
If Ian Porterfield walked in my house now, I'd not have a clue who he was. I wouldn't even ask him to help me with this quiz.
Okay. Question number seven. Starting with you, Oliver. Which club provided the most players to England's World Cup Italia 90 squad?
Lovely, lovely question.
Oh, please tell me I'm going first.
It's over. I'm going first.
I think I've got quite a good
Did
answer.
Did you say 1990?
Yep.
Italia 90 squad, which club provided the most players to that squad?
I'm going to go with Everton.
Good answer.
It's a good answer, but it's incorrect.
I think I know this.
And it's with you, Josh.
I think it's Rangers.
It was indeed Glasgow Rangers.
Fine. Chris Woods on the bench. Yes!
Chris Woods, Terry Butcher, Gary Stevens, and Trevor Stephen.
Very good.
How weird is that? What a great fact.
I was going to say Spurs, but that's a great answer.
I'm thinking Liverpool. Wouldn't you have like Beardsley, Barnes, Mark Wright?
Oh, yeah.
And finally, last question this round. Starting with you, Josh. Who is the only player born before 1960 to score a hat-trick in the Premier League?
Oh, lovely. Isn't that lovely?
Mick Quinn?
Incorrect. Chris?
The only player born before 1960 to get hat-trick. Oh, Ian Rush?
Incorrect. Charlie, any guesses?
I can't give any players now. This is the trouble. I've got no idea of any footballers now. Is it Jeff Hurst? Gordon Strachan. Gordon Strachan.
Gordon Strachan is the correct answer.
Yeah!
What? did that happen? Jeff Hurst to Gordon Strachan.
Unbelievable narrative.
I mean, technically, I should take your first answer, but that was answer that I will let it fly.
Get in. Oh, that was like scoring a goal. It was so exciting.
Look at Skull and Olver.
Olver. I don't think Olver's going to recover from this.
This is...
Chris, I'm really... But we can't be blamed for this, Nugget. Like, I can't be blamed for this when he does stuff like that.
That was so Torquay United, that.
Oh, that was amazing.
I can't think of anyone. Jeff Hurst, and then just out of nowhere, Gordon Strachan.
Flipping it.
Did Ian Porterfield just sneak in your house? And
he's here. Ian, keep it down, Ian. Make Frank Burrows a cup of tea.
Next round, we are returning to Who Am I? Same rules as before. I'll give you a series of clues about an iconic 90s figure. Buzz in any point if you think you know the answer. Okay. Clue number one. I was born in Edinburgh in Scotland.
Second bit of the sentence was for those.
Where is the place you speak of?
I was born in Justin Edinburgh. Someone was born in Justin Edinburgh.
I began my playing career at Dundee United before a move to Aberdeen, where I played between 1977 and 1984. I signed for Manchester United in 1984.
Over.
Chris was first in there.
Brian McClair.
It's a good guess, but it's incorrect. So Chris is eliminated. I think Olver buzzed in there. Did you want to guess or did you want to wait for the next clue?
I am going to wait for the next clue.
Charlie buzzed.
I buzzed.
Yep.
Is it Jim Leighton?
It is not Jim Leighton.
Oh, gosh.
Come on, Olver.
Just to let you know, Chris, I was going to say Jim Leighton and then decided to back out.
I don't.
Next clue. I left Manchester United in 1989 to sign for Leeds United.
Oh,
Over.
Josh was just in first there.
It's Gordon Strachan again.
It is Gordon Strachan, correct.
Gosh, it's unreal. Jeff Hurst. Yes.
I was going to say Gordon Strachan as well, genuinely.
I just thought he's not going to come up as an answer twice.
It's amazing, wasn't it? Real curveball.
Josh and Charlie get the point there.
Chris, we're being destroyed, aren't we?
Less of the we.
Oh, sorry, Brian McClair. Let's have a chat after your mastermind, shall we?
Arguing amongst the defence here.
He's one of those. You said earlier, oh, I'm an arm around the shoulder. What you mean is the arm goes around the shoulder and just squeezes me.
I'm in the press conference now, really going, he needs to up his ideas here. Right, come on, unity over. Come on, final stretch.
Okay, next that round, we are returning to Starting 11, Part 2. Same rules as before. I'll give you a classic game from the 90s. You take it in turn to name a player who played. If they didn't play, either a sub or unused, you are eliminated. Last man standing wins the points for the team. So, previous time we had the 1998 FA Cup final. So this time round, we're going to have the 1998 League Cup final between Chelsea and Middlesbrough. On the 29th of March 1998, Chelsea won 2-0. And Josh, would you like to go first?
Zola. Gianfranco.
Correct.
Emil.
Olver.
Ravanelli.
Incorrect.
Oh, no. That was my one.
Olver.
Charlie, your turn.
Janino.
Incorrect.
Oh, my gosh. Neither of them played. Okay. In the final. Wow. Neither of them played in the final.
Chris.
Wrong season.
I'm glad that me and you were in the early days together.
So sorry, Olver.
And the tunnel.
Sorry for laughing at you for Ravanelli being wrong.
Frank Leboeuf.
Frank Leboeuf, correct. Josh.
Ed De Hooy.
Correct. Chris.
Roberto Di Matteo.
Correct.
God, you learn a lot when it's your own podcast, don't you? Yeah. They're both really good at this.
Really good.
Gianluca Festa.
Correct.
We should get more points for that, to be honest.
I want to play it really, really safe.
You know I played it really safe with Ravinelli, right?
No, I was. Send the only Middlesbrough player I could ever think of.
Craig Hignett. Oh, God, no.
Incorrect.
Come on!
No wonder they lost. They beat the reserves out. Youth team were playing.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Okay, so the Chelsea lineup was Ed Doherty, Dan Petrescu, Frank Leboeuf, Michael Dubery, Frank Sinclair, Graham Lassau, Roberto Di Matteo, Dennis Wise, Eddie Newton, Gianfranco Zola, and Mark Hughes. Middlesbrough, Mark Schwarzer, Gianluca Festa, Steve Vickers, Nigel Pearson, Vladimir Kinder, Paul Merson, Robbie Musto, Neil Maddison, Andy Townsend, Hamilton Ricard, and Marco Branca.
Terrible
awful
team.
Awful rubbish. Team. When I say awful team, I mean me and Chris.
It was 3-1 at one point.
Michael, have you got any more of those rounds where Charlie couldn't overestimate Pooh?
Two words, Gordon and Strachan.
Time now for the final round of the quiz. Josh, you are going to go first. Yeah.
Before we name my topic, the Wikipedia page was a lot briefer than I'd expected. And I think it's a shame on the nation that it's not more detailed.
Your chosen mastermind subject is the life, times and career of Barry Fry.
Lovely stuff.
Were you surprised? I'm presuming you've looked at the same Wikipedia page, Michael.
Well, I had to go slightly deeper because there wasn't anywhere near enough information on this. So.
It was. Were you surprised like I was?
Yeah. Considering such a big
such
character.
Such a huge cultural figure. Yeah. It's about three paragraphs.
Michael, please tell me that you've spent 6 months undercover following Barry Fry.
He signed a player once, Brazilian, on the pitch. And the player never played for the team. I can't remember his name, unfortunately, Josh. Might be one of the questions.
It'll come to you.
Okay. Josh, your time starts now. In what year was Barry Fry born?
Oh, 1945.
Correct. Where was he born?
Because then he re-signed for them. Oh, fuck. Bedford?
Correct. What is his middle name?
Oh, I saw this. Francis.
Correct. Yes. Which team did he start his career but left before making a single appearance?
Manchester United.
Correct. At which club did he start his managerial career?
Dunstable.
Correct. In which season did he win the second division with Birmingham City?
94.
94, 95.
Oh, I know. Okay. You can get this wrong.
What is his wife's name?
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Incorrect. Christine. According to his records, how many times does he claim he has been sacked in his career?
Oh, 16.
37. What was the name of the controversial chairman who sacked him at least 8 of those times?
Stan Flashman.
Correct. And finally, what was the name of the 1997 Sky documentary about him and Peterborough United?
Oh, that's not the one about... Oh, is that the one? There's only one Barry Fry.
Correct.
The preeminent expert on Barry Fry, Josh.
I mean,
proven yourself.
That was amazing, but I had how many clean sheets as David James had? And Michael, the first couple of questions, you even did it chronologically down the Wikipedia page.
What is Barry Fry's name?
That's outrageous.
You could have mixed them up a little bit.
This is disgusting.
Okay, so 7, that's a strong score.
Very good.
Chris, even with a perfect score, you guys can't win. So you're playing for pride now, or what's left of it. Your mastermind subject, Chris.
Don't let us down, Chris.
is The Life and Times of Uri Geller.
Nice.
Oh, dear.
Your time starts.
Someone who's got so much info about them.
Oh, man. I've loved it as well. I've really loved it. I'm going to be sad when this is over because I won't have an excuse to research Uri Geller anymore.
If we win this, there will be on social media, Uri Geller will put out a recording of this podcast with his voice over the top going, the scores will change. The scores will change.
Right. Josh, Uri Geller is a man known for his positivity and his energy. I think he might be somewhere in the universe using it through me. Would you give me the opportunity? If I get a perfect score here, can we say I've won? Yes.
Yeah, not just you.
What a team player.
Yes, sure. Overton as well. Yeah.
There's no I in team, but there is in Chris.
Just so you know, Oliver, I'm bringing you back to go head to head on my team in a future quiz against Chris. The ultimate revenge mission.
In comparison to Barry Fry's Wikipedia page, Uri Geller's is so dense. There's so much content there that I think if I gave Skull access to the Wikipedia page, he still wouldn't get these all right.
Yeah. In 90 seconds. The litigation section alone is like...
If you get 8, I'll give you the victory.
Okay, that's okay.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I love being patronised. We love this.
Just trying to create some drama, Oliver. Okay. Is that right with you, Charlie? Yeah,
If one of the answers is Michael Jackson and David Blaine in a car around St. James's Park, Exeter, then I think we get the point for that as well. But
okay, your time starts now. In what year was Uri Geller born?
1946.
Correct. Where was he born?
Tel Aviv.
Correct. What was the name of the kidnapped Hungarian model Geller predicted would be found safe and sound, but wasn't?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I Googled her.
I bet you absolutely perv.
Just Googling models, missing models.
Her name was Helga Farkas.
Oh.
Which American chat show host was suspicious of Geller's powers and debunked him on air?
Jimmy Carson.
Correct. Why did Geller sue Nintendo for $60 million in the year 2000?
They made a Pokemon, copied him.
Correct. What is the name of Geller's private island off the coast of Scotland?
Mumra or something.
Lamb Island.
Ugh.
Who was Geller's best man when he renewed his wedding vows in 2001?
Michael Jackson.
Correct. Which club did he get involved with in 1997? Including a trip to the stadium with the King of Pop.
Exeter City.
Correct. Do it.
Who missed the penalty Geller claimed to have moved the ball for during Euro 96?
Oh, come on.
Come off it.
Gary McAllister.
Final question.
To win it.
You've given this away, Josh.
7 correct.
This is the drama everyone wants to hope.
This is for the win. And finally.
Can I answer it?
Yeah, Oliver's got to answer it.
Absolutely not.
And finally, Geller has written 4 fiction books in his lifetime. Can you name the title of one of them?
Well, his autobiography is called My Story, and I would argue that is a work of fiction. So, look, we're going to have to go to court to find out who's right. I don't know. Oh, let me guess. Crystal Magic.
Crystal Magic.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. You could have had Ella, Sean, Pampini, or Dead Cold.
Sean? Like the name of a person?
The name Sean.
Spelt like Sean Locke, S-E-A-N.
S-H-A-W-N. So at the end of all of that, Josh and Charlie are the victors. Congratulations. Well played, Chris and Oliver.
I thought 90s football quizzes were the winner.
So, Josh, Charlie, what song, before we say goodbye, would you like to play out? Not just the end of the show, but the end of the series.
Josh, Talk United run out to 2 songs, Abanda by Herb Albert, but also Robert Miles, Children. So I was wondering if we could go with Robert Miles' Children, because it's very 90s as well, you know. So
yeah, I think that would be a great choice. Robert Miles' Children.
Well, that's it for another series, Series 7 of Quickly Kevin. We'll be back very soon with Series 8. But for now, big thank you to all our guests this series. Jamie Redknapp, Jason Manford, Ivo Graham, Neville Southall, Andy Townsend, Mike Ingham, Jamie Carragher, John Robbins, Bob Mills and Henning Venn, and of course, Charlie Baker and Mark Olver. Thank you, lads. We'll be back very soon.
It's taken 2 months of our lives. Well, it's probably added 2 months of our lives. Cue Robert Miles.
Keep a good man down.